crushed limestone?
Don?
You got the email from...
Don?
Are we gonna start?
From Ms. Yelsdorf?
Mm-hmm.
Do you wanna do an announcement next meeting about it?
We'll try it.
Or do what? Because I didn't want...
Relating to...
Letting people know about...
Oh, that, oh.
I don't know if you want, you know.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay.
I'm not a member of the committee, so I don't think I should sign this.
All right, it is...
Actually, yeah. Actually, yeah, because you're on the board, but...
Should he sign it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I usually have everybody sign it, if you don't mind.
I guess you can sign it. Okay, should we get started then?
Sure.
Okay, it is 6:30. We are gonna call the June 1st meeting of the Judiciary and Law Enforcement Committee to order. Roll call, please.
Leah Blau?
Here.
Boyd Frederick?
Here.
Greg Retzlaff?
Here.
Mike Skalitsky?
Here.
Jeff Wambolt?
Here.
Sydney Robson?
Here.
Madeline LaCroix? Madeline LaCroix?
Okay, all right. We're gonna open the floor up to citizens' comments. If anybody here wants to provide any comments, you have 5 minutes. Floor's open to citizens' comments.
I do.
Okay. Can you please state your name?
My name is Denise Bell.
Hang on. Madeline's here.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you give her a chair? Pull up a chair, Madeline.
Okay, just give us a... Okay, so could you please state your name and your address?
Denise Bell, 4223 29th Avenue, Kenosha, Wisconsin, 53140.
Okay.
I work at the jail downtown, and I am here again for all of the correction staff, the DSOs at KCDC, the correctional officers at downtown jail, the kitchen staff, and many of the admission release specialists. Back in 2012, when our schedule was changed, we brought information to the county board at that time that we were being shorted for 8 days per year. I'm gonna read a letter that I wrote to the county board and emailed to the county board at that time. I said, I'm a correctional officer at the downtown jail. I would like to bring you some information that I'm hoping will help all of the county board understand that we are being treated unfairly. In 2011, the jail unit worked what some call the federal schedule. 6 days on, 2 days off for 4 weeks, and then 6 days on, 3 days off for 1 week, and then 5 days on, 3 days off for 1 week. And I attached a file, which I don't have right now. On this schedule, in 2011, my day off key, which was number 6, I worked 261 days and received 10 paid holidays where I could place 1 day a holiday. It's an H on my schedule. I still have them. I have them for the whole year and the previous years that we placed an H January through October. So 10 of them a year, which is what the memo comes out, the email comes out in November from personnel stating all county employees receive 10 paid holidays, and they named the holidays. Martin Luther King is not one of them, unless you want to take it as an unpaid day, then you can. Comes out in November. I believe all the keys worked out to approximately when I did the entire year for all of the first shifters in 2011. It came out to approximately 260 to 262 days. Minus our 10 holidays, so 250 to 252. Okay, Monday through Friday employees in 2011 worked 260 days and received 10 paid holidays off also. So employees received 26 checks at 80 hours for 2,080 hours. And then in 2012, well, after Act 10 was enacted and they changed our schedule to the 5-2-4-2, so we work 5 days on, 2 days off, 4 days on, 2 days off. After that was implemented for the jail unit, on this schedule, employees work anywhere from 252 days to 254 days per year, but do not receive holidays because administration tells us that the days off are built into the schedule. I understand the extra days are there, We have 8 extra days. We get paid for 2016 hours a year. 64 hours, which is 8 days, from 2080, so 2016. Here's how we're being treated unfairly. On this schedule, we get paid for 2016 hours per year instead of 2080. I'm not asking for any more days off of work. That's what it's been said in the past, is that we're asking for more days off of work. We're not asking for that. We have never asked for that. See, I have Kenosha News articles stating that that's not what we were asking for, even though they were also told that that's what we were asking for. I'm not even really asking for 10 days pay, because I'm not. We're asking for 8 days of pay. That's all we're asking for. Everybody else gets 10 paid holidays. We're asking for 8 paid holidays to get paid for 2,080 hours a year instead of 2,016 hours a year. I have no other way to explain it unless you want to look at all of my schedules and all of my calendars and all of my numbers that I do all the time. I have them from 2011, 2012, 2013, and then I redid them again to bring this forth for last year, or this year and next year. I did 2015, 2016, 2017. And I've asked people, you know, check my numbers, tell me that I'm not right. And this man at the last meeting proved that I'm right. He said, we work 2016 hours a year. We get paid for 2016 hours a year. So I'm asking for us to please get paid for 2,080 hours a year instead of 2016. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other comments? Citizens' comments? Please state your name and address.
Dennis Hughes, 144 North Jefferson Street. I'm in Milwaukee. I represent the correctional officers and the ARCs and the kitchen staff also at the jail. So I just wanted to follow up on what she's saying. I mean, basically every other county employee gets, basically if you're 9 to 5, you get 10 days paid holidays. If you're a corporal, you get 16 paid holidays. But if you work in the jail, you get 0. It just doesn't seem fair. My other criticism of this report is just the fact that it didn't come out to the public. Before the Finance Committee meeting, there was no report available. Public comments at the start of your meeting, so the report was presented in the middle of the meeting. We had to make our comments before the report was even presented, which doesn't seem fair and doesn't allow the board to make its decision with all the information. Just looking at the report in the middle of the meeting, I could tell it's based on the wrong calculation of the number of hours that these employees work. It said that it's based on 2022 hours worked, which has been made clear that they actually work for 2016 hours per year. So just little things like that. And also, if we had seen the report before, I mean, we would definitely make a bigger deal about the fact that the private sector jobs that their position is compared to are just not even close to the type of jobs and the work conditions that they face in the jail. You're comparing them to construction laborers, truck drivers, and traffic clerks. I mean, those people do not have to face the type of mental abuse that the correctional officers, officers have to face every day, especially the female correctional officers having to work in both the female and the male side of the jail. So I just don't think that the private sector comparisons are necessarily fair. And the fact that the new wages that are set are 110% of the private sector, I just do not think it's fair, because I think it's artificially low. The 95% of market value for the public sector work that the new wage is at, I think is fair. I wish it was 100%. I don't know why it wouldn't be if that was possible. But the fact is, it's not actually at 100% of the market value. If you're not getting paid 10 paid holidays, and all of the positions that you're comparing these jobs to do get 10 paid holidays, it's not even close to 100%. So we shouldn't fool ourselves by thinking that these employees are getting a fair wage until they get their 10 paid holidays like the rest of the county employees. So hopefully that will happen along with this wage study. We do not want that fact, that problem, to hold this wage study up. These employees definitely deserve the raises that they're being given in this study, but we hope that that would also be correct, and this is the perfect time to do it. So thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Any other citizens' comments? Please state your name and address.
Carlos Gerena, 7312.
Can you spell your last name, please?
Gerena, G-E-R-E-N-A. 7312, 98th Ave, Unit G, Kenosha. During this whole study that we've done, that this gentleman presented last week, or several weeks back, stated that we were supposed to get a survey of our jobs, stuff that we're supposed to document every aspect of what we did, so they can use that information to develop and understand of what we do. To the best of our knowledge, between the two facilities, no CO or DSO was asked to fill out any paperwork. I'm not sure if you guys were aware of this. We've asked three different shifts on two different buildings. We've tried to reach out to people who retired. No one's did anything. So our concern, or more or less my concern, is if we're basing in a data pool on stuff that we do without any information that you were inquiring from us, how is any of that accurate? I'm just bringing this up to your guys' attention, whether you guys knew it or not. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other citizens' comments? Anyone wishing to make a comment? Any other citizens' comments? Citizens' comments are closed. Okay, next on the agenda, supervisor comments. Any supervisors wishing to make a comment, please?
Do you think everyone wants to go around the room and introduce ourselves? At least?
Okay. Hi, my name is Supervisor Leah Blau.
I am Supervisor Jeff Wamble.
Supervisor Greg Wetzlaw.
Supervisor Mike Skolitsky.
Supervisor Boyd Frederick.
Committee Secretary Donna DeBrie.
Anyone introduce yourselves?
I'm Sydney Robson. And I'm Madeline Lacroix.
There are two new youth and governance members. Welcome aboard. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you.
Okay, any other supervisors wishing to make any comments? No. Supervisor comments are closed. Okay, Chairwoman comments. Again, welcome aboard to our youth and governance. We're glad that you are here. Also, just a little bit of like housekeeping rules. I'm just requesting everybody here at the table, if you need to ask a question, please go through the chair just to maintain order and fairness, especially tonight. We have quite a few people here that may want to ask questions. So if you need to ask a question, just raise your hand and then I'll acknowledge you, and then you can go ahead and ask your question. And also, Sydney, I want to get welcome aboard. That's all I have for Chairwoman comments. Okay, next, approval of the minutes from May 13, 2016. Move to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second?
Second.
Okay, we have a motion made by Supervisor Boyd Frederick, seconded by Supervisor Wamble. Youth and Governance?
Yeah.
I'm requesting you to ask, I'm asking you if you approve the minutes for the May 13th meeting. Aye or no?
Aye.
Okay. Board?
Aye.
Motion passes.
Madam Chair, since number 8 is going to take a while, before we get started, I would like to move number 9 on the agenda above item 8. You know, because with the purchase of the boat, we won't take as much time as the resolutions for the compensation study and the Sheriff's Association agreement.
Okay, Supervisor Boyd Frederick has requested that we move item number 9, recognizing the surplus federal inmate holds revenue to purchase and install the twin boat motors. He's requesting that we move it up to number 8?
Yeah, move that, and then move the resolutions for the county personnel services to 9.
Okay, afterwards. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
Second.
Second? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. So if we could do that. Okay. So the first item, number 7, resolutions from Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, Field Operations Division, Bureau of Emergency Management. A resolution to approve the appointment of Rick Dodge to serve as a member of the Local Emergency Planning Committee. Hi.
Yeah, right, correct.
Can you introduce yourself?
Sure. Madam Chair, board members, I'm Lieutenant Justin Miller. I'm the Assistant Deputy Director of Emergency Management.
Thank you. Welcome.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, can you tell us a little bit about?
I don't have the resolution in front of me. I think.
The original, she has there.
Yeah.
Here, I'll give you my copies to look at.
I wasn't doing it.
Here's one. And here, why don't you take this one?
Thank you.
We'll need them back.
Yeah, those are the ones that'll be signed.
Where is it?
I'm looking.
Did I have, did I must again?
So the resolution is for, to approve the appointment of Rick Dodge and Jim Huff to serve as members of the local emergency management, or emergency planning committee.
They're both reappointments.
Yeah, they're both reappointments.
Reappointments, okay. All right. Anybody, any supervisors have any questions on? We don't take them at the same time.
Well, we'd have to make a motion to do them at the same time.
We can just do one at the same time, it's your fault.
Okay.
But they're both reappointments, both are.
Okay, so we're going to take the reappointments one at a time.
Okay. The first one will be Mr. Jim Huff. He's to serve a three-year term on the Kenosha County Local Emergency Planning Committee, beginning immediately upon confirmation of the county board until the first day of July 2019, or until a successor is appointed by the county exec and confirmed by a Kenosha County Board of Supervisors. Since his last appointment, he has attended 8 of 11 meetings. His three absences were excused. He will serve without pay, and he will be succeeding himself.
Any questions from the supervisors or from governance? I make a motion to approve the appointment of Jim Huff.
You make a motion to approve Mr. Huff.
I'll second it.
All right. So, move to approve the resolution. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Board?
Aye.
Resolution passes. Okay, the next appointment?
Supervisor Rick Dodge, also to serve a three-year term on the Kenosha County Local Emergency Planning Committee. Group number one, he's a local elected official, beginning immediately upon confirmation of the county board and continuing until the first day of July 2019, or until a successor is appointed by the county executive and confirmed by the Kenosha County Board of Supervisors. Since his last appointment, Supervisor Dodge has attended 8 of 12 held meetings. His four absences were excused. He will serve without pay, and Supervisor Dodge will be succeeding himself.
I have a question.
Sure.
I'm not that I'm saying against this, but he's on a lot of, is he okay with all? I mean, he's got to be on four of these now. Is this due to lack of interest from someone else, or is he, do we know? I mean, he's on at least three others I can think of.
Well, I know this is a reappointment.
Yeah, he's been on the board for some time.
Okay, I'm, as long as he's fine with it then, okay, all right. Okay.
Any other supervisor questions?
And both of these, I realize we already put this draft. Is the attendance acceptable from your perspective?
Yeah, the attendance is.
I understand about the excuse.
Right, as long as they're excused, they're able to, they meet the bylaws.
Okay.
And it's been acceptable, yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions? Okay, I'd like to make a motion to approve the appointment of Rick Dodge, Youth and Governance. I'll have you vote first.
Well, nobody motioned yet.
Nobody motioned yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
So it was made by Supervisor Wambold and seconded by Supervisor Frederick. Okay, so we'll vote on it now. Youth and Governance?
Aye.
Aye.
Board? Our committee?
Aye.
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 Okay, point passes. Okay, thank you. All right, number 8. Resolutions from floor.
I give both of those back.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, they all need to be signed by everybody, and then I get.
Just want to make sure I'm not signing the wrong copy.
I got original.
These are the original.
Yep, they've got stickers on them, right?
Oh, that's right.
Okay, so we are going to move the item number 9 up. So Captain Hallacy is here.
For the boat motors?
Twin boat motors.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you. The Sheriff's Department is requesting in this resolution that we authorize $40,000 to recognize $40,000 of surplus federal inmate housing revenue to purchase twin boat motors for the Zodiac Safe Boat, a boat that we acquired through our government surplus program a couple of years ago to augment our Marine unit fleet. We're requesting that this $40,000 be used to purchase the new motors to be able to power this rather large boat. Our federal inmate population has been very good this year. We've been averaging over 237 per day, and we budgeted for 199. Today's population is 251 today. So it's just been a year where we've been able to realize a surplus revenue line, and we'd like to use $40,000 of the up to $40,000 of that to purchase the needed motors for this boat.
Are there any supervisor questions?
Madam Chair, have you gone out and gotten quotes, and specifically what brands have you guys been looking
at? Our office has been working with purchasing to find out what the best brand is. We had a quote from Action Marine and one from Twin Lakes Marine that are in the low 30s. We're figuring $40,000 will cover whatever's required, and of course, whatever's not used, we wouldn't use it. But we're in the high 30s for these motors. Low 30s for these motors.
And two is enough?
Yes.
I'm assuming 250 or 300.
I think they're two 225s is what the boat's rated at. Our Marine unit consulted with the Coast Guard to make sure that we have enough power with these two 225.
Now, I don't know if we can actually, and this is more commentary than necessarily a question, but there are two companies that are located here in Wisconsin. One is Bombardier, of course, makes Evinrude. One is Mercury Marine. I would hope that they would rise to the top of the list supporting local businesses, but I understand you have to go through your bid process.
That's correct. We would follow the ordinance with what purchasing says for the bid process.
A supervisor?
Just a quick question. Are the existing ones too old, or...?
We want to keep the existing motors on the Mako boat. This is to augment the second boat that we have. This Mako boat has motors that we want to keep in the service.
Okay.
All
right.
Okay. Sure,
Bob. To kind of answer that question, they put two motors that we currently have on the boat, on the Coast Guard boat that we acquired. The shafts weren't long enough, and the boat traveled about 2 miles an hour. So that's why we have to purchase completely different motors to put it on there. And for those that have not followed the announcement of the Coast Guard, after Labor Day weekend, the Coast Guard is pulling out of Kenosha. And next year, they will be here, if I remember right, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday afternoon, they will leave. So we will no longer have Coast Guard here in Kenosha for one of the busiest harbors in the state of Wisconsin. So us being prepared is ultimately what we're trying to accomplish in getting and keeping both boats. One is a backup and one is a main boat for patrol.
Any other supervisor questions? Any other supervisor questions? No?
I'll make a motion to approve the sale of the boaters.
Okay, second? Is there a second?
Second.
So we have a motion by Supervisor Frederick, second by Supervisor Skolitsky. Take a vote. Meeting governance?
Aye.
Board? Committee?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So now we'll move on to item 8, resolutions from Kenosha County Personnel Services, a resolution to approve the recommendations of the classification and compensation study for corrections officers.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. My name is Bob Riedel. I'm the Director of Personnel Services for County Government. With me is the Executive Vice President of Siegel Waters Consulting, Elliot Sussels. 2 years ago in 2014, the board approved a three-phase project in which we went into the community, private and public sector, to determine whether or not we were market competitive with the wages that we pay our employees. Kenosha is a growing community, and there is competition for good employees, which is a great thing. That means we're growing and we're getting opportunities. So for Kenosha County to continue to attract excellent employees to all of its positions, we need to know whether or not we are paying competitive wages, whether or not our benefits are competitive, all in an attempt to keep attracting excellent employees to our county. The first phase was completed with a county board vote last June. You'll recall that it involved management employees, the clerical employees, and the highway department employees. The next and deepest drill down we did was the corrections officer, and we're here to present that to you tonight. Now, there are multiple phases to the corrections officer study. The first and probably most interesting and most important are the wages. The wages will be presented by Mr. Sussels. It is his firm that did the surveying of our public sector and private sector competitors for employees, and so he will present that to you. There are a few other things, attrition rate, which is something we hope to speak to this evening and take action on a little bit later on, scheduling, staffing, and overtime. I want to point out that the resources that we have used to come to these conclusions are rather in-depth. The private sector resources are accessed by Siegel and their resources. There was a survey done of public sector employers who have civilian jail workforces, and that is what we come to tonight. Also, my thanks and recognition of the Kenosha County Payroll Department and the Kenosha County Sheriff's Department, who did a huge amount of work for us as we come with what we hope will be an acceptable change in the wage and compensation package for our corrections officers. With that, I would like to turn it over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. To build on what Mr. Riedel indicated and perhaps to start to address one of the comments made earlier this evening, our task was both to evaluate the prevailing pay rates for corrections officers who were serving a civilian capacity in these other jurisdictions that were on the prior slide, but also to recognize the vibrancy of the local economy and the opportunities that folks might have to seek other employment other than being corrections officers, and to understand what that competition for talent might be, and more specifically what pay rates might be or what pay rates are in the private sector that might attract people away from work as a corrections officer in Kenosha County. So and I will take you through the results of the survey, and one of the highlights is we provide those, that market information, both with respect to the public sector, where we're comparing literally apples to apples, civilian corrections officers to civilian corrections officers, as well as the private sector, where we're looking at jobs for which occupations for which they might compete for the same talent that as the county. And it's important because as you look at a workforce or the evolution of a workforce, as you look at the opportunities for folks retiring, the need to recruit new folks, you obviously have to look at the local labor market and who else might be competing for that same talent. So with that bit of introduction, let me just say that in the slide that's up there, on the screen right now, what we've looked at is base wages. And we've looked at base wages in terms of the minimum and maximum. The pay ranges have minimums and maximums, as I'm sure you're aware of. And currently, the minimum at Kenosha for a corrections officer is $37,107 with a maximum of $46,883. Based on the market data that we collected in the public sector, and this is for like jobs, civilian corrections officers, what we find is that the average across those jurisdictions that we surveyed was $44,250 with a maximum of $54,055. So if you compare the current pay range for corrections officers, what we see of the average in the marketplace, Kenosha is somewhere between 84% and 87% of the market. Now, a rule of thumb here that we use is that the definition of being market competitive is being between 95% and 105% of the market average. So here, Kenosha is significantly below market, just in terms of comparison to the public sector, to other like jobs. If we look at alternative, yes.
Can I ask you a question, just so I'm clear as we move forward. Is that just wages, or does that include benefits,
it's
insurance?
Just base wages.
Just base wages, right?
We'll get to the other. This is just base wages. So as we look at the alternative, which is what are other alternative forms of employment that folks who might apply for jobs as corrections officers might consider? And you see here we have a broad array of jobs, including dispatchers, construction laborers, truck drivers, other protective services workers, and not sworn, and shipping and receiving clerks. This information was gathered from U.S. Department of Labor data, fairly current, 2015. And based upon that data, across this broad set of jobs, we find that the minimum is $35,340 and the maximum of $57,880. So if we compare Kenosha's current pay range for corrections officers just to the private sector, again, base wages only, entry is at about 105% entry for the private sector and 81% of the maximum. So in the public sector, the pay range is consistently below market. In the private sector, at entry, it's about market competitive, but clearly at the maximum, it is significantly below market. Now, another way to look at this is in terms of just converting the annual salaries to hourly rates, and the next slide does that for you. So if you convert the pay range, Kenosha's pay range, it gets to $17.84 an hour to $22.54 an hour, public sector $21.27 to $25.99, and you see the same market position of 84% to the minimum, 87% to the maximum, and we do a similar calculation just to convert to hourly rates for the private sector as well. The next slide says, well, we can look at the county's competitive position against the public sector alone. We can look at it at the private sector alone, or we can look at it at some blend. In the case of what we've done on this slide, we've said something very simple and straightforward. Let's assume a 50-50 blend, so we simply averaged those hourly rates together for the public and private sector to provide you with another a framework of competitiveness. When we do that, as you can see here, at the minimum, Kenosha's entry is at 93%. Of the market, so that's below the target of 95 to 105%, and at the maximum at 84% of the market. So on the blended basis, we have a situation of being below market again. To the question that was just asked about did we consider health benefits, or was this any benefits considered in the study? This slide shows you that same comparison where we've now added the cost of health benefits to the pay rates in the prior slides. So for Kenosha, the range minimum inclusive of health benefits is $51,445, the maximum is $61,221. Again, we give you that comparison on public sector only, 57,401 to 67,207, on private sector only, 45,695 to 68,235, and then on that 50-50 blended basis. Yes?
We have a question here, Supervisor Russell.
I brought this up in the Finance Committee, okay? Your 14,388 is so far wrong, I can't even sit here and take it. Okay, I did it at the last finance meeting because I just did. It's $25,000 here. No ifs, ands, or buts. Okay, how did you come up with 14,388? Not even close. You're almost $10,000 off.
This information was provided to us by the county.
How did you come up with 14?
It is the value of the health insurance to the individual employee. So there is a cost of $14,000 to the county, $14,388 per employee.
So you're saying they pay close to $10,000 of their own health insurance?
No.
Okay.
I'm saying it's based on the amount of insurance used. When we did this calculation for 214, and the insurance has not changed, the calculation was the exact number that we gave you. And so we carried this number over from 2014, and that was the number that was analyzed and placed.
Okay. And we even had Mr. Gertsen here saying right now he is budgeting $25,000 per employee per year for our health insurance. He is. It's just, and you know that. I can't, I mean, it's $22 million. How's that not 25 some thousand dollars?
Well, in part, you know that we pay, first of all, the $25,000 he's budgeting is for 2017. And that's not the figure that we have now. I haven't talked to Dave, he hasn't been here. I don't know where he came up with that. The amount of money that we use for health insurance of the amount of money that's budgeted is something like $16 million. And so it's the amount of money that we use to pay medical bills that calculates into this figure. That's about the best I can do. We pay our own dental, we pay our own vision. So and part of that is the pass through account, isn't it, Barna? Yeah. Okay. So part of the 25 is pass through money.
You know where I am on this.
I do.
Okay.
Thank you.
When I very clear. Yes. Thank you.
Go ahead.
Okay. So the slide that is before you is just basically the comparison stacked bars showing the various components of base pay, health costs, retirement contributions, and so forth. That was the basis for gleaning that $14,388 from the prior study that Mr. Rita was talking about. If we look at wage and benefits again on a cost per hour basis, we've simply taken those same annual figures where we've added the cost of the annual cost of benefits to the salary ranges and converted them to hourly rates. So these relationships are the same as you saw previously in terms of the fact that Kenosha County is about at market based upon the average of the public private sectors at minimum, below the public sector at minimum, and above the private sector at minimum. And then when you go to the maximum of the pay range, Kenosha County is below on every count, whether you're looking at public sector alone, private sector alone, or obviously the blend of the two. If we look on the next slide at Kenosha County on an hourly rate basis compared to those numbers, so what's the difference? What's the difference on a cost per hour basis? That's what this slide shows. So we're taking into consideration that there may be some, there is value to the health benefits relative to the marketplace in terms of the dollar cost of health benefits elsewhere, and so there may be some offsetting effect. But that said, given the consideration for the cost of health benefits on an hourly basis, Kenosha County at the minimum of the pay range is $2.86 below market. Public sector at the maximum for public sector, $2.88 below market. On the private sector alone, it's $2.76 above, but at the maximum, it's $3.37 below. And if we look at that blend of the public and private sector, at the minimum of the pay range, just slightly below market, but at the maximum, almost 14% below market on a combined basis. So what we've really done here is given you the ability to say, how do we compare just pure wages? How do we compare when you take into consideration the various costs for health benefits. So the next slide basically says we have these market gaps, differences between Kenosha's pay ranges, base pay or pay ranges, base pay plus health benefits, compare it to the marketplace. On a total compensation basis, what would be the increases required to get within that 95 to 105% corridor, that definition of market competitiveness? And what this slide shows you is that if you were to compare yourself to like jobs, civilian correction officers in the other jurisdictions in the earlier slide, that it would require a 16.1% increase at the minimum and a 12.8% increase at the maximum. If you were to look at jobs that might attract the same talent, meaning the private sector. There would be a 15.5% decrease at the minimum, but a 15% increase at the maximum. And overall, using our 50-50 blend methodology, you're just about right at minimum. You'd need a 0.3% increase, and at the pay range maximum, almost a 14% increase. So again, we're giving you different perspectives on how you want to view Kenosha's position. Base pay only, base pay and benefits, just the public sector, just the private sector, or the combined market overall. So in conclusion, looking at base pay and benefits, again, the target we want to be is 95 to 105% of market. Kenosha County's starting wages are about 100% of the public, private kind of average combination, but 85% of the public market, which is really the primary competitor for corrections officers. I mean, that, again, I want to underscore, those are like jobs. The private sector was simply trying to understand in the local labor market, particularly with some of the recent employers, where might someone else seek employment rather than come to work for the county as a corrections officer. Kenosha County is nearly 14% below market for long-term corrections officers. Those are those who are at the top of the pay range. What we're saying here is Kenosha County needs to improve starting wages to effectively compete with both the public and the private sector markets. Certainly, in the public sector markets, you are significantly below market for those corrections officers at entry, and that should be noted. Just to give you a sense of the workforce we're talking about, and the fact that we're talking about, you know, maximums of pay ranges, minimums of pay ranges, and where does the current workforce, you know, how is it distributed? If you look at this chart, this is looking at the 139 corrections officers broken out by years of service. If I draw your attention to the column on the right that says 6 years, those would be the people at the top of the pay range, at the maximum of the pay range. That's 65.5% of the workforce is at the top of the pay range, and the top of the pay range is, you know, 14-15% below market. That's a significant market gap. The folks new 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, you can choose to define what new means, but these are folks toward the bottom of the pay range, towards the entry level of the pay range, not an insignificant, about 34.5% of the workforce is down there. So what are we recommending here? We're recommending that Kenosha County adopts a wage schedule that provides a slight market advantage and should be grade NE5 on the current pay scale, that this be implemented August 1st. Mr. Riedel can talk more about the cost of this. We were not involved in determining the cost. But clearly, based upon the proposed pay range of NE5, which has a $19.57 an hour minimum and a $24.86 an hour maximum, that results in a $1.75 an hour increase at entry and a $2.32 increase at maximum.
So we're hitting 110% of the public-private market, but at 95% of the public sector market, which is the primary competitor for corrections officers. That cuts the middle of the research. Again, the maximum wage is 98%, the target 95 to 100%. And so that is what we're seeking from the board. The ranges that were established for our employees, NE5 is the one that best fits the target. And so we are suggesting NE5. There's a 30% potential increase in wages over the course of and employees' time with us, and as will be the case with all of our rangers, they will be reviewed and reviewed. Let's talk about the implementation strategy. We have selected August 1st, 2016 to implement the new plan. So on August 1st, 2016, the new starting wage will be available for those who are recruited successfully to become corrections officers. Corrections officers whose wages are below the new starting wage will be moved to the new starting wage on August 1st. Those officers who are at the top of the former range, the one that is in place currently, will receive the 1.5% across-the-board wage increase approved by the board in the 2016 budget. All other CEOs who were eligible for step increases under the former range will receive the greater of the step increase or 1.5% on their scheduled anniversary date. So some of the CEOs have already gotten their raise for 2016 if their anniversary date has occurred already. The step increases are higher than the 1.5%, and so we would likely see a continuation of the step increases being paid out for the rest of the year. And then on 1/1/17, CEOs will be eligible for an increase of 3% of the range midpoint on the anniversary day, which is the practice now adopted by the county for all wage increases. As I mentioned in the opening, there are multiple other things to be discussed and some changes that we are hoping that you will approve. The first issue we have had in the past couple of years is attrition. We lost 7 CEOs in the first year in 2014 and 5 in 2015. That is a problem for us because obviously it costs money to train people. It takes 9 months for a corrections officer actually from the date of hire to be able to work the job in full. And so anytime we lose someone in the middle of that training, it is an issue for us. Some of the things that we have done to address that specifically is the interviews now include a detailed discussion of the unique aspects of working in the jail. I use the term unique advisedly. The job is difficult. It does not have the most pleasant working environment, and we make that very clear to the candidates when they come in for their interview. They also tour the facility, so that's very, very important.
Supervisor Westlock.
We talked about that in the last meeting.
Yes.
Could someone from tell us why that is happening?
Why
they leave? They leave. I'd like to hear it from one of you guys. Why do they leave? What's your opinion on that?
Yeah, sure. We conduct exit interviews on employees that are leaving that wish to follow through with the interview. The answers are all over the board. Some of them are the wages aren't there. Some of them, the working conditions aren't what they anticipated. Some of them are they've gotten another job. We recently lost a gentleman who went to work for FedEx. You know, I mean, another person left to go to Florida because of a family relocation. The answers are across the board, but there's not a specific point that we found in our exit interview research that identifies a specific problem that we could address directly, that we already aren't addressing with the interviews and the tours, the pre-employment tours.
So probably
overtime too.
Okay, so it's not money then necessarily.
Well,
I mean, well, he says all over the board. I mean, I got to, if the money was there, would they stay or not? It's a hard question. I'm not saying it's the right answer. And I in the finance committee, I voted for this because I think we should do it. But that problem bothers me. You know, we go through the training, and I know it's a difficult job. I'm not ever going to say it's not. But you know, I don't know. Is there something we could do differently? Is it you know, if we're going to give an incentive after that time period, a little bump? You know, and that would that. Do you in your
if
opinion,
I can respond, my I mean I, there are jobs which offer the same amount of money, okay, that are not in a jail, and it's the working environment in our view that is the part that needs to be balanced with the higher wage. The higher wage combined with the new method of paying, which we're going to get into, and I know you know about, we hope will offset the working environment. The working environment is about as difficult as anyone can imagine.
Supervisor Wambaugh.
But, Bob, with your, you aren't keeping stats, though, right? Am I hearing you right? It's just your exit interviews, it's what's being said, but is there any kind of, like, chart being kept, or? Because I know what I believe it is as well in my line of work, but is there?
No.
You know what I mean? I mean, you said it's all over the board, but there's not specific stats being kept?
To this point, we haven't identified a specific trend or a specific statistic that would would help mitigate what we are already doing.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure. I had a quick question not related to this topic. The public sector information that you were referring to in here, where did you draw that from geographically?
In slide two, three, I guess. It's number three. It shows Waukesha County, Brown County, Racine, Rock, Washington County, Sheboygan, La Crosse, Fond du Lac, Eau Claire, Marathon, and Lake County.
Okay, so Lake County wasn't.
Yeah, yes.
They're the counties that have civilian.
Right.
That's how we got it. One other thing about the attrition rate that has helped us is that years ago the county board authorized overhiring, so we can overhire by two FTEs, which allows us to get a head start on the training, as we said, and in the hope of having somebody on the bench to put in the game when somebody else leaves. We're kind of catching up to that at the moment. We'll talk more about that. So our recommendation on attrition is twofold. Number one, continue the practice of maintaining two or more. And then in addition to the proposed starting wage increase, add a two-step first-year increase. So 3% of the midpoint at the six-month point in order to give them an incentive to continue the training. And it gets to the post-nine-month level when they can actually settle in, do the job as it's designed, enjoy the support of the co-workers and the like. And then 3% of the midpoint is the normal one-year raise. The scheduling, so that the board has a clear picture of the scheduling, it is a 5-2-4-2 schedule. The employee schedule totals 2,022 hours per year. There are 8 32-hour work weeks, and the schedule is designed to allow officers to select an additional 8-hour shift in the short week to complete the 40-hour work week, though they are not forced to. A 5-2 schedule, for the point of comparison, does equal about 2,080 hours a year. This particular slide is to give you a sense for what it would be if the facilities were at capacity. So if we had no more room for any inmates, it would be 63 officers in pretrial and 107 officers in the detention center. But in fact, the inmate population is declining. And the question as to why the inmate population is declining, the local inmate population particularly, is because of the innovative programs put into place by the we now have home detention, electronic monitoring. You guys approved that a few years back. Drug court and OWI alternatives to incarceration are working very well. The staff now vacates underutilized dormitories so as to not have to staff them. And the sheriff has started a program of allowing retirees to pick up a shift or two or three in a week. And that, you know, as extra money for the retired COs, thus helping the overtime situation. The pretrial has 43 fixed position assignment posts today. The detention center has 61. There are currently 4 defunded positions at the detention center and 6 defunded positions at the pretrial facility. I already mentioned retiree staffing. The scheduling and overtime are linked, and we'll make the recommendation together. So let's talk about overtime. There has been a steady decrease in overtime incurred by the corrections operation over the past 2 years. Pretrial facility, over 2 years, it has decreased $55,000 to $500. And at KCDC, it has decreased right around $319,000. The question is, why have we seen such a significant impact at KCDC as opposed to the pretrial? And that is directly related to the funding of 2 jobs that had been defunded previously at KCDC. So we find that refunding 2 of the jobs at KCDC had a huge positive impact on the overtime at that facility. Forced overtime is something that was brought up in the presentation as well. There is a general perception that forced overtime occurs a lot. It is clearly a deterrent to retention. It creates significant morale issues, and our newer employees are disproportionately forced to work overtime. What the analysis showed is that 15% of pretrial facility overtime shifts are forced, and 10% of KCDC, thus speaking to the refunding of the two positions again. Spread over the entire workforce, that would be between 4 and 5 forced shifts per year. However, the sheriff has a policy which allows employees to protect themselves from being forced by electing to work voluntary overtime. And the overtime policy, while complicated, seems to give employees some self-scheduling options to avoid being forced. Now, there are two other bullet points here. We are not proposing these. I want to make that clear. But they were discussed and were analyzed. One of those was to force the 32-hour week to include one shift. We have decided not to do that. And the Fair Labor Standards Act, which is the federal law governing overtime, does allow for corrections officers to work 171 hours over 28 days before incurring or before benefiting time and a half for overtime. We have decided not to do that either. It has been the board's position since 2011 that overtime should be paid over 40, and that is where we're sticking this. So as we review what we found out, 5242 has 8 periods of 72 hours. It's important to know that that does not create an overtime situation. So when all the jobs are filled, that particular rotation does not create overtime. Kenosha County has staffed the corrections facilities at the mandatory fixed post level and balanced variations in inmate census by using overtime funds. That is a legitimate management practice, and it has been successful. The introduction of innovative corrections programs and retiree corrections officer pool has contributed to the downward trend in the overtime. Post overtime is manageable at 10 to 15%, especially with overtime policies which allow the employees to choose their own overtime shifts, protecting them from being forced. And reducing two of the unfunded positions at KCDC has made a significant improvement in overtime at that facility, leading us to the recommendations. We are proposing that the board refund two of the unfunded positions at the pretrial facility. We think that will make a 1/3 impact on overtime at that facility because that is the track record at KCDC. And we will continue to assess that and report to this body and the Finance Committee as often as they would like. This is a problem which has been discussed in detail in this committee and at Finance over the course of the last year. And so there's a keen interest on the part of the board, particularly over the overtime. We would propose that we continue existing alternatives to incarceration, those that the sheriff has put in place over the last few years. So just to review again, we would like to increase wages to the competitive market rate by moving corrections professionals into wage NE5. The money budgeted for that is $121,525. That was given to the county for implementation of this project. We also would like to introduce a first-year retention incentive, again, of a double bump in the first year. And we'd like to refund two of the unfunded positions in the pretrial facility and monitor the success rate and the reduction of overtime. That cost is $125,000 over the full year. And that, Madam Chairperson, is our
well, Bob, what was it for 2017? This wasn't it 250? Is that the number we looked at?
Yeah, it was 303,000 for raises. And when it was budgeted, it was 250
okay.
For the implementation.
Thank you. I noticed that the state had an 84-cent rate increase for their corrections officers. Are any of those facilities near Kenosha County?
RCIA is a state facility.
Start.
Servant?
Yes, RCS and Servant.
Yeah, that's it.
Were any of those numbers used in the study?
No. No, it was county facilities.
And the other thing I noticed on page 13, it seems to me 1 to 3 years are the problem, yet we're giving the lowest percentage of increase, like $1.73, you said, compared to $2.32 on the upper. It seems like we need to put more on the lower end.
I'm sorry, are you on 13? Did you say?
That was page 13.
Well, we're going for $1.75 an hour on the lower end in an attempt to attract employees to the county. But 65.5% of our employees are at the top end, and we want to make it worth their while to stick around, too.
It seems like we're having to lower
the balance. What the balance is that at the top end of the private sector, we were at like 81%. And while at the beginning rate for the private sector, we were actually paying better. And so that would indicate to us, and Mr. Sussell is probably most able to speak of this than I, that the imbalance is really from the beginning to the end as much as anything else. And we need to reward those who are at the top.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Bob, can you talk a little bit about, we had one of the citizens talk about the 8 hours of holiday and a lot of numbers there. You've obviously had a lot more time to digest this than I have, so can you expound a little bit on that? Are we in an unfair position? Is there something I'm not understanding? Do we need to dig into this a little bit deeper?
Can I defer to the sheriff?
Absolutely.
The sheriff's department. The 5242 is a schedule that the sheriff's department has put into place, and he's probably better at explaining.
The correctional officers are right. I mean, it all depends on exactly where you go. There are a lot of positions in the, and I don't know in the public sector if everybody gets holidays or not. They like for Christmas, a lot of employments get Christmas off. And they get paid for it. Correctional staff does not. New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, they do not get a holiday off. It all depends on where you go. Do you get paid holidays? Basically, what they're asking for is to get those 8 paid holidays back. And they did used to have them. When Act 10 came, everything changed. They now get paid exactly what they work. So they aren't shorted what they work, but the difference is they don't get paid holidays. So what they're asking for is to go back to what it was 5, 6 years ago, never was, and I don't know the dollar amount that would cost the county. But I mean, to really just simplify, they're asking to get a Christmas Day, which a lot of the other employees get for the county. I don't know how the highway department works or anyone else does. Some private sectors and public sectors do get paid, and some don't. Things have changed in the last 5 years. I don't know the numbers, but they don't get paid holidays. They don't work any more hours, but those days were removed from them whenever Act 10 came in.
So they're working December 25th. Or obviously, criminals, you know, inmates don't go away. And we're just not going to just walk away and leave it empty. So they're not getting holiday pay for the 25th, but they are being paid. Correct? Is that...
Yeah, they work the 2,000, so deputy sheriffs don't get holiday pay either. I mean, the correctional staff works the 5242, and they work 2,016 hours. Deputy sheriffs work 5253, and they don't get holidays either. When... A couple years ago, when we went to PTOs, the correctional staff did get, I don't remember, it was a couple, 1 or 2 extra PTO days to kind of help make up toward those holidays. I know that gets forgotten. What is seen is 8 holidays, and but I do know that the county board did give them, and I don't remember the exact number, I don't remember if it was 1 or 2, extra PTO days to help go toward that loss of holidays. So So I don't know if I explained that good enough, but they don't get paid holidays.
So the divide the two correctionals, your deputies that are in the field, they do not get the holiday pay, say, for December 25th, but they may have to work, correct?
Yeah.
Do they have the same concern as the correctional officers?
It's the deputy sheriffs, well, the schedule's different. Okay. Because it's 5-2-5-3 and it's 5-2-4-2 for corrections. In that rotation, weekends rotate off, everything rotates off. Some people will get Christmas off, and it doesn't matter. In our field, we've got the office people, the clerical staff. They get paid weekends. They get paid holidays. And let me see. There's no more pay for working Christmas. So between the deputy sheriffs and corrections, if you work Christmas Day, you get paid the same no matter what it is. If you have it off, obviously you have it off.
You've had conversations with your correctional officers about this issue, correct?
Work groups.
Okay.
Work groups.
Yeah, we've had work groups and talked to them in different
days. So I just want to make sure that I'm kind of understanding the concept or the concerns I have. If they were to be paid holiday pay on the 25th, if they still have to work, as opposed to do they want the day off? That's what I'm trying to understand.
Everyone wants Christmas Day.
Well, right. We don't always get it.
In our line of work, when people are hired, everyone knows that you've got a pretty good chance you're working Christmas Day. So that's kind of a given. The senior people have a chance to take it off. Could you ask me that question again?
Is it that they want the day, more or less a day off with compensation, or do they simply, are they seeking holiday pay for those 8 holidays?
They're more or less looking to get 8 paid holidays. That what used to happen, I think, I could be wrong on this one, but I think you somehow gave them 8 days and scattered it throughout the schedule and paid them. You're going to have disagreement between 180 some people. Everyone's going to want it to be a little bit different. So for me to say what each one would like, probably some people would like 8 more days off and get paid for it, and other people would like to get just the pay built into their, get into what they have. So I don't know. See, again, I go back to about 2 years ago, the county board did give 2 more PTO days back. So if you really, from 5 years ago, 6 years ago, in reality, the way I look at it, it's about a 6-day difference because they were given 2 days back. But would they like to get 8 holidays? They would. Who wouldn't?
Yeah, so would I. Doesn't mean I'm getting them. And you're never going to please everybody, but they're just looking for something here. Bob, do you have an idea on the cost of that?
$265,000.
Okay. And was that somewhere in this?
No.
Okay.
No, we weren't. We presented the schedule, but it wasn't presented with the cost or with any notion for changing. It was to place us within the framework of the 5-2-4-2, which is the Sheriff's Department schedule.
Yes, sir.
If I remember going back to one of our work groups, I think what most of them would like is on that short week to get paid that 8 hours holiday. So there's seven or eight short weeks in a year, depending on how the schedule rotates. I think in the perfect world is that short week, they would like to get the holiday pay to make up for it.
Okay. And that's based on current correctional officer staffing and what the salaries would be for those 8 days or 7 days, whatever the case may be, comes up about $260,000.
Right.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. All right. But that's not part of what we're...
Again, the study was to look at wages, benefits,
understand, and
working conditions within the framework of what it takes to recruit people to come to work for Kenosha County. So, but the sheriff's department schedule is the sheriff's department schedule. There was no contemplation of changing the schedule for the purpose of anything else. Our schedule is the schedule. It's determined by the professionals who run the jail as the best schedule for us right now.
It was just a question that was raised.
No, it was a good question. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we're not going to be able to give everybody everything that they want and still be responsible to taxpayers. It's just not feasible. But we can at least be aware of this. And one of the things that we were aware of is that we felt that the correctional officers were needed to be addressed. The study was run. There's maybe a couple numbers here that don't quite jive. I just personally didn't get the attachments in the study until Friday before a holiday weekend. Now, maybe it was out there before, but I didn't get it email-wise or any kind of notification was there. I'd like to have had a little bit more time to read through it and analyze it. And I know you ran through the summary. I just haven't had a chance to really internalize everything and understand what we're doing, whether or not it's everything that that we can or should do at this point in time. I would have preferred to have more time to analyze this, Madam Chairwoman. Literally last night, you know, my daughter's graduating and I have to go to awards banquet. I haven't had any time to even read this. I was gone all weekend. Well, maybe you guys had a chance to read it. Supervisor Frederick, did you have time?
Yeah, actually, because I requested...
So you were in town?
No. What I did was when I heard about this, I requested a copy from Mr. Riedel, and I've had time to digest it. Because I knew it was going to take some time to do it.
So. Absolutely.
And I was also, when it was on the Finance Committee agenda, I attended that meeting as well. So for me, I've already seen this and heard about this because I took the time to do advance work before the holiday weekend.
Did you have time to read Supervisor Retzel?
Well, I was in the Finance Committee.
Sorry.
Long time.
How about you, Supervisor?
2 days ago.
2 days ago yourself? Yeah. And I realize that the goal here is August 1st, and we still have two more meetings before August 1st. Is there some reason that we have to act on this in order to give enough time to get it implemented by August 1st? Why August 1st? I mean, I'm not trying to delay it till December 1st. Don't get me wrong.
No. Why August 1st?
Yeah.
Because that fits the budget, and that is a good solid day to start. I mean, it's
okay.
A good day to implement the budget. The budget was structured to pay raises at the halfway point of the year. I think the halfway point of the year this year is June 26th. The implementation of something this complicated will take several, a few weeks, maybe 4 weeks.
But the prep work can be put in place.
Sure.
Now, or between now and then, and I would anticipate that's what you're not going to dump it onto Dave or...
No, I'm pretty sure payroll will have me working on that as soon as
possible. So the reason that I'm bringing this up, Madam Chairwoman, is I'd like to have a little bit more time to digest this. And I would like to make a motion to table this until our next meeting so I've had a chance to at least go through the numbers, understand what the implication is, and make sure that we're addressing all the concerns that are out there.
Supervisor Skolitsky has made a motion to table this till the next meeting. Do I have a second?
I would, but I've already voted for it, so I'm of no use in this conversation.
I will second.
Okay, so we have a motion to table this until the next meeting, the discussion of the resolution to approve the recommendations of the classification and compensation study, seconded by Supervisor Wambolt. Take a vote.
Now, is there a point? Can we discuss something right
now?
Yeah. Okay.
I just want to make it clear why I'm seconding it. I agree with years ago James Madison that government should move slowly if there's any doubt. So because we need a little more time to digest, I believe in that principle, and that's why I'm seconding the motion. I agree that if there's something that's not clear, let's take our time and let's get it right and not make any mistakes. So that's why I'm willing to do that. I agree with that.
I don't think that I have 150 questions, but I kind of open up the attachments and I'm like,
This is a big deal. This is not a small thing. We've been talking about it for a while, and I just wish we would have gotten a little bit more, you know, even a week, just to kind of have some time to digest it, not over a holiday weekend. And, you know, I apologize, but I was out of town, and I've not had time to review it at all. And it's not that I'm opposed to it. I think that it's a worthwhile study. I like the fact that some benefits were dropped in there. We've compared it to the public sector as well as a blended, you know, private and private alone, because you have to. You can't just be myopic and go through this blindly and say, well, you know, this is where we have to be, because it's a marketplace out there. And as we've seen, as we've heard commentary on, we've lost a few correctional officers early on to other career paths or maybe just, you know, career decisions. So we just want to make sure that I just want to make sure I go through it and understand it completely.
I have a question. When was this the results of the study made available to us? I know it was presented at the finance meeting, which I was going to, but it was not able to make it for us to.
It was posted on the web when it was posted on the county website at whatever point. I mean, this was done in time for a May 18th meeting or the May 16th meeting, whatever that was. With the sheriffs, and it was forwarded to for this meeting to them. I don't know what the process is or when the deadline is for posting this on the website. So,
no, and I appreciate that.
They're just.
I don't search the website every day and say what's new on there.
Is there any further discussion? Vote on the. Motion to table this?
I'd like to abstain from that. I've already voted for it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I'm going to abstain.
Okay, so Supervisor Retzkoff is going to abstain. So we take a vote, Youth and Governance. Vote to table the recommendations for the classification and compensation study for the corrections officers. Do you vote to abstain?
I think it should be tabled, personally. Like he said, it may have been available on. It may have been available online, but.
So you're in favor of tabling?
Tabling, yes.
Aye. Yes. Okay.
And just a point of clarification, just till our next meeting.
Till the next meeting.
Yeah, bring it as an. I'm going to ask for it to be an agenda item in the next.
Okay, so let me reiterate. Let me restate that. Okay, so we are going to table until the next meeting the resolution to approve the recommendations of the classification and compensation study for the corrections officers. Do I have a vote from the committee?
Aye.
In favor?
Aye.
Nay.
Take a.
Well, we have one aye, one nay, one. Two ayes, one nay, one abstain.
What's your vote?
Aye. Yes, Supervisor.
The way I'm looking at it, our next meeting will be the 6th of July. And then the next county board meeting after the 6th of July will be the 19th of July. So that gives them 8 working days to get it implemented by August 1st. Just to give you a time frame of what we're looking at.
Okay, I can't answer whether or not that's enough time.
I can't speak for payroll.
Can't speak for that.
Payroll is the one that I have to input all this stuff. It sounds like a pretty ambitious task.
How are we doing next week? Tuesday for Country Thumbing, most likely.
We have the option of doing it.
Yeah, I could add it to that agenda and do it next Tuesday.
Was that done? Couldn't hear.
We were going to discuss Country Thunder tonight, but that was removed from the agenda because Captain Weichert had not received all the permits, of course. You know, so we are calling to have a meeting on Tuesday, June 7th,
right before our county board meeting at 7 o'clock, because all of the information for that will be available, correct?
And the fees hopefully should be received. As long as the fees are received by then, we expect it to be.
Next Tuesday, correct?
This is going to be a readdress, it might not be early, even 7 o'clock. We're thinking about just 7 o'clock next Tuesday, but we could bump that to 6:30 if.
Would you be agreeable to this?
Yeah, I'd be agreeable to that.
Okay. All right, so now we have another motion.
Do I need to amend my original, how about if I amend my original motion to next Tuesday?
That is still the next meeting.
That's still the next meeting.
Okay, no, fair enough.
That's the next meeting, so you're.
I didn't know if we had officially scheduled that or not.
Well.
I just saw the notice.
Found out last minute today about the permits, so.
That's fine. You're okay with that, Supervisor?
Yes, I am.
Okay, so we will be tabling this until the next meeting, the resolution to approve the recommendations of the classification and compensation study for the June 7th meeting prior to the general county board meeting.
That's 6:30?
I would think we should probably.
6:30?
That's up to you, but I would think we were near 7 o'clock and it was just Country Thunder, but I think.
Okay, 6:30.
Yeah, well, do we need a full hour? I mean, any ideas on the Country Thunder is, I mean, I'm, any, you guys.
Much like always.
Pretty straightforward. I mean, I've voted for him every. Are you sure they're going to get him to us?
Okay, so what do you think, Donna?
Is anybody on Human Services?
I am.
I don't know how long.
Well, no, no, this is not going to be a long meeting. I think that 7 is probably still adequate, if you want 6:45, so we don't have to run upstairs. But if I've got questions, I'm going to ask them.
I don't have.
Between now and then, not then. I mean, so.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't have to be at that meeting because I've voted for this in finance for it.
It will be Country Thunder though also next week.
Well, I got to choose between Human Services and this. You know,
well, this is way more important.
Well, you want to take me off one of these committees? I'm all for that. You know?
I've been trying.
We won't be able to get this room.
Yeah.
So we'll end up.
I'm at that meeting too with Greg because I'm on Human Services.
Because you beat.
They must not have reserved the room because I reserved the room next week and I got it. So.
What time is that meeting?
6 o'clock.
6.
Does it go for an hour and a half?
No.
No.
So do you think, guys, if we made it 7? You could even maybe leave a little. What's in this building, right? No?
It's right here.
It's right here.
It's usually right here.
No, it's not. Don just said it wasn't.
Because I scheduled it in my
way. Somebody's going to be in.
Okay, either way. So then let's just make it 7 or as soon as you guys can get there.
Okay, 7 o'clock.
Okay. Where? Here. Here. Right here. We're down.
Here or the other meeting room over there? Right?
Yeah, well, Donna, what was the one time thing for me?
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
We are going to do 7 o'clock. That'll for sure keep it.
Also, is the next thing on the agenda?
Yeah, we have one more agenda item here.
We actually may move that. Oh, yeah, we have the sheriff.
The labor agreement.
I want that. Can we pass that table?
Okay.
No, I thought she has.
Okay, so next on the list here.
Can we make a motion table? Madam Chair, I would like to make a motion that we table this. Item 2 of 8.
The successor labor agreement?
Yes.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion here from Supervisor Retzloff to table the resolution to approve the successor labor agreement between the County of Kenosha and the Kenosha County Deputy Sheriff's Association. Until when? Do you have a
a month from now.
A month from now.
Yes.
So it's a July meeting.
Our July meeting. Yes. The reason is we just got this. There's a lot of things to this. As it stands right now, I'm not prepared to vote, so I move we table.
Okay, so we have motion from Supervisor Retzloff, a second from Supervisor Skolitsky. Vote in favor to table this. Any discussion?
My only point is that I've had zero time to even look at it. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that we've at least had some chance, if we need some or have some questions, to be able to ask them, and so that we can be a little bit better prepared at our next meeting.
Okay.
Can I speak on this?
Sure, go ahead.
I just want the committee to know that I will go to finance. It will be on the Finance Committee agenda in the next meeting for Finance.
That's fine.
So that would be before yours, just.
But what is that going to be, like the 16th?
That's a week from tomorrow.
16th of June.
Yeah, so they got a couple weeks.
Okay, so do I have a vote on the comments to table this resolution for the labor agreement?
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Aye. We will be tabling to approve the successor labor agreement until the next.
Regular joint meeting.
You know you can ask questions.
Number 10, any other business allowed by law?
Your mentor told you that, don't be afraid. If you have one.
Motion to adjourn.
You're just.
Second.
Second, third. Aye. That you can, right?
Yeah.
So if you're like.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay.
All right.
You did well, Madam Chair, you did very well.
How much?
Yeah.
Like, you guys are raising the tax.